Let's get it on.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
History. History. History was made at the weekend.
In what respect?
We had the first ever Golden Point outcome.
Oh, yeah, Mark Snead.
Snead.
Those whole fans history. Love him.
Creating history.
Golden
bit of an anticlimax, wasn't it, really? He made this big thing about the Golden Point. Yay! No one's ever mentioned it since it happened.
I think it's been overtook by other issues, hasn't it?
It has.
There's a couple of other big stories in rugby league. I mean, are we going to have a Widnes club?
Well,
I had a really...
D-Day shortly, isn't it?
I had a really well-worded rant last week, because I'm gutted. I'm really gutted, and I'm angry as well.
Third place of the fans, they were obviously gutted last Thursday when it was announced the administration is the way that Widnes have had to go. But since then, tremendous effort. Over £100,000 has been raised by the Widnes fans.
Magnificent.
And the rugby league community in general.
Yeah. And I was just thinking that the last time we had that amount of money raised was for Bradford. I just hope it's not all chucked in with the original club, because otherwise it could just end up paying off some debt, and they don't want that. They want to get a place on the board. They want to get access to the books. They want to have some sort of security that it's going to be doing something in the future.
Well, we've been around a lot longer than the Golden Point. Not as long as Widnes. Hopefully 125 years won't be scrubbed away at some point this week. Hopefully someone will step forward and play God and save the club from going down the liquidation road. We don't want that.
We definitely don't want that. No.
So welcome to the Final Hooter, Adrian Jackson, Dave Parkinson, talking rugby league on loverugbyleague.com. Big thank you very much to Radio General and the sound for Warrington Hospital for letting us use the studio.
Yeah, we've just about mastered the controls after all these years.
We mentioned Widnes. We went down to the press conference last week. And we'll greet you by this guy.
My name is Peter O'Hara and Chris Brooks-Banks. We're insolvency practitioners and we've been brought in by the directors of the club because it's in financial difficulties. I know Widnes is a proud rugby league club and I'm sure it's a sad day for everybody here. We're in a unique situation in a way. It's a bit like a rudderless ship. There's no directors here. We were brought in by James Rule, who was the chief executive. He approached the Rugby League and we spoke to the Rugby League yesterday morning. So we don't know too much about the particular club other than the fact that in crude terms it's simply run out of money. We've procured the wages for the players to the end of this month, but other than that there's no funds whatsoever. Now, immediately prior to Christmas I've been involved, there'd been a potential sale to a consortium, and for reasons that we don't really know, that deal broke down on Monday evening, and as a result of that the directors decided that they could not continue. There's no money, the company was insolvent and they had to do something about it. Our job hopefully is to try and preserve what's left. Whether we can do that, I'm not certain. And it all depends upon potential investors into this club. You'll know by now that the game on Sunday has been postponed. It was our intention to play that game, but it broke down basically to do with insurance. Now, some of you may or may not know, a lot because insurance costs are so high, not just Widnes, but many other rugby league clubs cannot afford to pay the premiums. So rather than pay the premiums, the club take it on the chest, i.e. if there's somebody injured and they've got to go to a hospital or to need surgery, then the club pay that bill rather than relying upon insurance. Now you can imagine Chris and I have come in, we can't take that liability on because we don't know what it will be. We've asked the Rugby League if they will underwrite it through their benevolent fund. They indicate they can't do it. And after much deliberation yesterday, it was decided the game would have to be cancelled. The reality is that unless some investors are found this week, the club will be in the same position next week again, unable to play because there's no insurance. So to a large extent, if investors aren't found, and found fairly quickly, the club will go from administration into liquidation, and then that will be the end of Widnes, which I'm sure nobody wants.
That's a dire introduction, wasn't it?
It certainly was, yeah. I mean, he's earning his money if he can keep Widnes afloat after what we've heard. The things that worried me is the fact that he said it's a rudderless ship. Usually, administrators go into places and there's someone that they can deal with. There's someone there that wants to take over the club. But he's gone into a place where there's just the admin staff that are remaining. It's really odd.
It's a real dire press conference, to say the least. It confirmed the Widnes were into administration. They've got a week to try and buy and prevent them from going into liquidation. He says that's what they don't want. Hopefully that will be the case.
Yeah, I mean, like what we said at the top of the show, it's 120 plus years of history and more from a Widnes club point of view. You know, you've got to date back to the 1870s. You can't allow that amount of heritage just to drip by and go on into the sun, can you?
We've already mentioned that the family rugby league have rallied around, haven't they? Tops are being put on offer. Even Marvin Kukas has offered up racing memorabilia to be auctioned off for all the worthy cause of saving Widnes, and the fans have been tremendous. Over £100,000 raised in total. Hopefully the money will continue and that might encourage investors to step forward. But let's get the latest what's happening involving Widnes, and we'll talk to Liverpool Echo journalist John Lawless. What is the latest at Widnes, John?
Well, I'm not sure I'm the man to come to for the latest, because it's such a febrile and volatile situation that who knows what the latest is. It might be about 10 minutes ago, Adrian, that the latest occurred. But the fact of the matter is that Widnes Vikings need to find investors in the next, well, probably hours, that can keep them in the Championship, or they're going to have to reform a new club in League One in a year's time. So it's very interesting to see. Interesting might be not a word that Widnes Vikings fans would use, but it's fantastic to see that they've raised a huge amount of money through the current fan base, but on its own, that won't be enough to keep Widnes in the Championship this year.
Now, you've been watching Widnes as a journalist for quite a number of years, John. What was your mood like when you left the press conference on Thursday?
Well, it was interesting, wasn't it? Because obviously the administrators are what they are. They've got a particular agenda. They're not will-be people. The fact of the matter is that Widnes Vikings simply need investors, and they need them right now. Now, I believe that the current amount of money that the fans have raised is something that on the scale of £75,000. It's absolutely fantastic. A brilliant effort by all concerned, including especially Vicky, the organisation that raises funds for the Vikings. But without other private investors, they can't do this. They need this. They need other private investors to make this work. And there are some people involved, and I'm sure they're talking right now as we speak. But without private investors, Widnes Vikings will, I'm afraid, go into liquidation in a few days' time.
Unbearable to think of, isn't it, when you think of the history that Widnes have had over the years in rugby league. You live in Widnes. What's been the mood like amongst the fans? We've heard about the response in terms of money raised, but what's been the mood like amongst the fans? What are they saying?
Well, you know what? There's a certain amount of euphoria amongst the fans, because this has sort of galvanised them. It's sort of made them realise that if they lose this thing, it'll be a terrible thing. So that's an absolute positive. What needs to continue is that positive goes beyond the current situation. Now, we don't know how the current situation is going to pan out, do we? It could be that Widnes go into liquidation. It could be that it carries on as a Super League entity because certain individuals come forward and pull our money in. But whatever happens, hopefully what is the lesson learned here is that Widnes Vikings and Widnes Rugby League Club need to be part of the town going forward. So it'll be interesting to see what happens after the dust has cleared.
John, I've been quite outspoken regarding what's happened at Widnes, and I think it's ridiculous that the situation has been allowed to unfold the way it is. What's your anger level like, or are you a little bit more chilled out than I am about the whole situation?
Of course I'm more chilled out than you, Dave, because you're not a very chilled out sort of person, are you? You know what I mean? We're all...
It's called passion. It's called passion for rugby league.
Yeah, I know you have. I know you have. And we're all different. Look, actually, I agree with a lot of what you've said. It's difficult, isn't it? Everyone's been trying to keep this rugby league club alive. Everyone's wanted to witness rugby league. Those who are interested in witness rugby league have been wanting for this to work. They've been wanting for witness rugby league club to have an all singing and all dancing professional outfit with an academy and the community stuff going on. And maybe the question needs to be asked: can Widnes Vikings, without a sugar daddy, which they've not really had for a number of years now, can Widnes Vikings or several other clubs that I could mention, can they really sustain a full-time professional, all singing, all dancing, academy, community stuff going on? Can they really sustain that? And I'm not really sure that they can, Dave, to be perfectly honest. I think you probably said that yourself.
I think there's a lot of clubs that are playing at it. I think I've been a bit more direct with my language. I know, and I can understand where you're coming from as well, John.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And, you know, can Widnes, can Lee, can other small towns in the northwest of England actually sustain a full-time professional with all the stuff that goes with that, by the way, not a team playing on a field and you know, having 20 blokes who were contracted. Can they sustain a professional rugby league club without somebody who's going to back that up, a personal human being, you know, with serious money? Can they actually sustain that? I'm not so sure that a lot of those towns can, to be perfectly frank. So where do we go from there?
Well, if someone does step forward tomorrow, or before tomorrow's deadline, John, and prevents the club going into liquidation, what will be the mood like around the town?
Oh, well, it'll be delirious for a while. Look, there's been a lot of euphoria in the last couple of days, hasn't there, because of all the money that's been raised and whatever, and there was an event at the Vikings Groundhog Stadium last night that I was at. And there was a huge amount of joy, if that's not the wrong way of putting it about expressing it. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Can Widnes Vikings, going forward, be a full-time professional rugby league club? Or do they need to settle for the fact that they are going to be a part-time professional rugby league club? That's the real question. It's very easy for people to turn up in extremis when things really hit the fan. But the fact of the matter is that going to make a difference going forward? Widnes is a relatively small town, 60,000 population. One's got a 200,000 population. Can Widnes sustain a professional rugby league club without personal and private input? I'm not so sure.
Well, if you look at the current situation they're in, well, the answer to that is basically no.
Well, it looks a little bit that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But look at the sporting world around the world, not just rugby league, but look at football and what have you. Half the planet is running on personal, private input. And Widnes need that. And maybe there's someone out there, or a group of people out there, who can put in that level of input that can make Widnes Vikings continue in the Championship for now, and maybe even aspire to Super League in the future. But we have to recognise that's what it's about. Let's not pretend there that there's some kind of magic formula that's going to make Widnes or Lee or a million other clubs viable private entities in the fully professional sense. They're always going to have private input. Can Widnes find that? Well, we're going to see in the next couple of days.
Like you said, D-Day's lurking. What's your gut feeling?
Oh, God, that's Adrian. That is a tough question, I have to say. I honestly don't know. I don't want to sit on the fence here. I just don't know. The fact of the matter is, there are people in a consortium who are willing to put money into Widnes Vikings. Whether that satisfies the administrators and everybody else, I don't really know. Look, you put me on the spot, and I know you want me to give you an answer. My answer is, I think Widnes will come through this and stay in the Championship for the time being. the longer term, I'm not so sure about.
That's good news, at least, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to put the same question to you as well in a minute, Adrian.
Oh, yeah, but I knew you'd do that.
What do you reckon?
I totally agree with what John's just said. I think they will come through it. I think the interest is there. The fans have shown the interest is there. And I use Keithley as an example. If someone's willing to step forward and save Keithley from going down that road, surely the history of Widnes should be strong enough for someone to step forward and save the club.
You would certainly hope so, but I think John raises some really good points there. There's some clubs that have been reaching and overstretching for years upon years upon years, and they've got to realise where they sit in the rugby league chain. It doesn't for me, it doesn't matter. For me, it's all about moving forward and having a club to support moving forward. I think that's the important grasp, isn't it?
So anyway, thank you very much to Johnny Lawless from the Liverpool Echo for joining us on the big show to get his to try and give us the latest regarding Widnes Vikings. And at the minute, we don't know, do we?
No, it's one of those that if they're going to be saved, it's going to be an 11th hour thing. I can imagine something happening at 11:59 tomorrow.
Well, there was an interesting comment from the administrator. He said it's like a rudderless ship. There's no one to talk to. Well, I found Phil Finney. He's been the man that's been fronting up to the media to try and answer the situation at Widnes and hopefully answer what could be the solutions. Let's hear from him right now. Phil Finney, overall, pretty sad day for the Widnes Vikings.
Yeah, really sad day. Really sad day for, I think, the fans, firstly. You know, I feel really, really sorry for the fans, especially how they've supported us through relegation and come out in the numbers, you know, at the start of this year. I think they've been absolutely unbelievable. Obviously the staff, you know, the staff here, we've got a really, really solid group of staff here that have been, you know, numbers have been here for years basically. You know, so it's sad for them. And then obviously the players have a short career and they put the bodies on the line for us week in, week out in training, you know, and for their sort of livelihoods to be in jeopardy. I think it's sad for everybody concerned.
You mentioned the players. They've obviously just been focusing on playing, but were they aware of any of the off-field problems?
I think that, you know, the players aren't daft, you know, as much as they crack on that they are at times. The players have known that we've been looking for, you know, new ownership. Mm. So they've been aware that, you know, there's been, I suppose, you know, financial difficulty. We have had to cut back on things that the players have been used to having over the last couple of years. We've had to cut back on some of the things, you know, for instance, supplements and things like that. So, you know, the players have been aware of those things. But in terms of, you know, the extent of it, probably not.
Mm. What's the current situation? Where does the club stand at this moment in time?
Well, we've been placed into administration. You know, we've been placed into administration this morning, which now means the administrators are in and effectively they're running the club.
Game was postponed on Sunday. That's obviously a major disappointment. So now the focus is now to try and get back out there against Featherstone.
Yeah, and the reason the game was postponed against Sheffield was because, you know, effectively the players wouldn't have been insured to play in that game. As and when players get injured, the club pay for their treatment. You know, clearly, as the administrators have alluded to, there's no money in the bank. Mm. You know, I think it would be wrong of me personally and wrong of any of the staff in here to ask a player to go out and play for a club with no safeguards in place for him and for him to sustain an injury that might threaten the rest of his career. I think that would be awful, to be fair, and immoral. So that's where the decision was made there to postpone the game. If we get a new ownership established next week, that circumstance will change and hopefully the game against Featherstone will go ahead. If it doesn't, then we'll be in the same situation as we are now.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Never a dull moment in rugby league is that we've had the first ever Golden Point victory, history being made. Mm-hmm. Max Sneed will be a pub quiz question in many years to come, won't he?
He will, as will Hull. Hull will be a good answer, won't they?
Yeah, so Widnes going into administration could possibly be liquidation, so there's an exciting story to get your teeth into within the world of rugby league.
That could also be a pub quiz question as well, couldn't it?
Could be.
What year did Widnes go into administration?
Widnes going to be the Accrington Stanley of rugby league.
Oh, don't say that. I will be naffed off if that happens.
Exactly. So anyway, yeah, moving along. On the field, League One is up to round two, and there's some exciting league good results, I thought.
There was, yeah. I mean, first of all, they can just mention Hunslet beating Doncaster. That's a fantastic result.
Yes.
Oldham as well, coming up with a victory against Whitehaven. West Wales Raiders being very competitive against London Scholars. Workington Town winning big at home to North Wales Crusaders. And Coventry Burghs. Coventry Burghs scoring a massive upset victory against Newcastle Thunder by 32-28.
You thought the Thunder would be losing two games on the bounce in League One.
I know. Absolutely ridiculous. You wouldn't have thought that with the money that they've spent on their squad.
And you get the feeling Coventry just bubbling along nicely, aren't they?
They are.
Building up the interest in Coventry, and I'm sure if the results continue, the interest will get even higher.
I like what they're doing. I really, really like what they're doing. And I caught up with their boss, Tom Sang, earlier on today. Okay, I'm delighted to be joined on the other end of the phone by a man for whom his team is going fantastically well at the start of the League One season. It's none other than Tom Sang of Coventry Burghs. 2 from 2, Tom, and you must be a happy man.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, well, very happy. I think we're only 2 games in, so we're not getting carried away with ourselves. But for where we, the aims that we set ourselves, we're bang on target, so we're happy with that. And it's just good to see the hard work that the lads have put in through pre-season, and the back end of last year as well for the guys that were retained, is paying dividends, and everyone's in good spirits at the moment, so happy with that.
Now, I know that we spoke probably, 18 months ago or so, and we were having a chat, and you were saying about building the club gradually, and that seems to be a process which is ongoing, and it's nice to see when you see some of the other boom and bust stories that are happening elsewhere in the game at the moment.
That's right, yeah. There's obviously a lot of sad stories at the moment in rugby league, and some clubs going through some patches that hopefully we won't ever see, because we feel like we're doing things the right way, and we're still very much at the start of that. We're obviously, this is the start of our 5th season, like I said, that's year 5, we're still a baby as a club for where the position and the guys that are involved in the club want to leave it in whenever we do leave. So small steps, absolutely, but we're definitely going in the right direction, and we got a couple of decent wins last year against some of the more traditional clubs, and they were obviously a bit of a surprise to many people that we won those games. And so the aim that we had this year was to make that more of a regular occurrence, so that when we did beat those teams, it wasn't a surprise anymore. And hopefully that's the pathway that we're on right now.
Let's look back on the Sunday just gone, because, I mean, that was a fantastic performance to beat one of the fancy frontrunners for the league. And you seem to control it for long swathes.
Thank you. We obviously had a good look at our performance from the week previous against West Wales. And although we won the game fairly comfortably in the end on the scoreboard, we weren't happy with our performance at all. So we were very critical of certain areas, and we knew that the way Newcastle played and what their potential was, and that the way Newcastle played matched up with where we were weaker the previous week. So we had a lot of hard work in that area, and the area that I'm talking about is around the ruck. We were quite loose in the contact and slowing the ruck down, and we really worked hard on that as a focus through the week prior to Newcastle, and we knew that the threat that Newcastle posed, and the guys just, they executed the game plan really well, so very happy with that. But like I said at the start, it's still very early days, and the league's still forming itself with lots of different teams beating each other, and you just don't know how it's going to pan out. And we're not getting carried away with ourselves. We know that we're far, far from the finished product, and we've got a lot of improving to do. Our next aim, as I alluded to earlier, is to be consistent, so that these sorts of results are not a surprise anymore.
Looking at the squad that you've got, you do seem to have some standout players. I know that coaches really like to concentrate on anyone in particular, but is there anyone in particular you've been impressed with improvement-wise since last season?
We brought in, not intentionally, but the way it's worked out has actually been quite good with the way we started, but we brought in a new fullback, a new scrum half, new standoff, and new hooker. So obviously we've made big changes in the spine of the team. Outside of that, the generally speaking, the outside backs, the back row, the props are pretty much the same as what we had the back end of last year. So we've got consistency in some areas, but obviously the spine of the team is completely different. And that was going to be the biggest challenge for us, was making sure that those creative players and the guys that were going to be bossing around the field could settle in and get used to the guys around them as quickly as possible. And they seem to have done that very well. So Nick Newman, our new scrum half, is a player who came over from Australia. He's only 21, 22, but he's got great skill, and even himself has a lot of improving to do in certain areas. So he's been very good for us. And Nathan Conroy at hooker has also come into the team with a bit more experience, came through the Bradford setup. So those two in particular sort of have formed a pretty dangerous combination already and can only get better.
I'm liking a lot of the things that are being done off the field as well. You had a successful stream for one of the friendlies that you played. How did that come about, and how have you received things down there?
Well, our CEO and owner, Alan Robinson, is on the forefront of thinking in terms of trying to expand the brand of Coventry Bears and push the boundaries of what's been tried in rugby league in terms of marketing the club. And we know where we are, where we're situated geographically, that we do need to try different things just to break into what's quite a crowded sporting market in Coventry in the Midlands. There's a professional ice hockey team that do very well. There's obviously the football and the rugby union, and the Wasps are on our doorstep as well. So for us to try and get a foothold, we're forced to do things slightly differently to what might be the traditional methods in rugby league. So Alan's been sort of working on those types of online streaming and things like that for a while. Just happens to be a local company that specialises in it. And so we put that in as a trial, and it was very successful. We made a small amount of money out of it in terms of the way that we set that up. If it's to be a long-term and sustainable thing, we probably need to look at how we can make it work, make the numbers work. But as a first go, it was very useful. The problem is that with the RFL's rights to the different games, they restrict when we are able to live stream games. So we're not actually allowed to live stream games by the RFL's operational laws between 1 and 5 on a Sunday afternoon, I believe.
Oh, right, okay. So that's something that would probably have to be looked at going forward, isn't it, with things like TV rights up for grabs in 2021, and clubs may be looking at other ways of bringing income in.
Absolutely. So we're looking at what we can do, whether we can do sort of an on-demand type service where we still film the games but make them available afterwards, or maybe moving some of our games to times outside that band. But it's certainly something that we've now dipped our toe in. We've seen that it works. There's definitely a demand for it in sort of an appeal for watching the sport in that sense. And actually, it's quite interesting where the numbers came from. There's quite a lot of the viewers were based in Australia. There's quite a few spread out across Europe and a few in North America as well. So it was interesting who was actually logging on and watching the game as well. So just making it available like that, just it by nature of doing that, expands the sort of the potential audience that you can attract. So it's good.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Good to see Coventry trying new ways to get interest.
I think it's exciting, to be honest, and it's good hearing about new ways of making money, because so often we hear stories in rugby league which are connected with money. We're not a cash-rich sport, as the story which we've been mentioning about Widnes is all about. So, to get new people watching rugby league and to get it in front of people, and interesting to hear about, I'm talking about growing a brand, not just a club. I think that is really forward-thinking, and it's perhaps something that we've lacked. So, well played, Coventry Bears. I'm looking forward to seeing how that develops, though.
They're in the top two. They'll be looking to be consistent, as he says, and hopefully for them, I suppose the aim is promotion, isn't it?
I don't know about promotion. It's all about progression. And I mean, you heard him there talking about getting a little bit more consistent, because at the moment, everybody thinks a win over Newcastle is a big surprise. But if they can then follow this up with wins against the likes of Keighley Cougars, who have obviously had their issues in the close season, good performances against the likes of Whitehaven, Hunslet, Doncaster, they're certainly on the road there, aren't they?
Dipping our toes into the Championship, we knew about the demise of Widnes into administration. The game against Sheffield never went ahead for insurance reasons. And that's the interesting one with the insurance, the fact that the turnaround has said during that press conference that not just Widnes, but a few clubs he'd never named, when the player gets injured, sooner pay out for the treatment rather than pay the premium. How many clubs do that?
I do wonder with that. And it makes you wonder how the whole insurance scheme of rugby league is worked out and what clubs are paying and why we haven't got something game-wide even.
You know, I know being involved in the amateur scene, if you didn't have any insurance to cover any injuries, they wouldn't let you take it to the field, end off.
So insurance?
The club itself.
Okay.
If the club didn't have an insurance certificate in place and all the premiums are paid, you didn't play the match, end off. So why on earth are they allowing professional clubs to operate like that? I can't get my head around it.
I don't know.
It
certainly needs the question asking, doesn't it, all the professional clubs about what they operate and how they operate. And is this a problem rugby league wide? I don't know. We don't know enough about it, but it's raised a couple of questions, hasn't it?
So anyway, their game against Sheffield never went ahead. We're hoping the game against Featherstone will go ahead this weekend, but we'll see. But other fixtures did go ahead. Who won what?
No sign of Golden Point in the Championship or League One, of course. So Barrow Raiders and Dewsbury Rams played out an entertaining 20-all draw.
Batley beat Rochdale. Bradford Bulls lost out to York City Knights.
Cracking game, that.
Who are flying high at the moment. They're sitting third in the Championship table. Featherstone Rovers, they got back on the winning run with a massive victory against Halifax. Great performance by them, by the way. Swinton Lions just lost out to Toulouse Olympique and Toronto just pipped Lee Centurions as well.
That was the game of the weekend, wasn't it? It was Lee versus Toronto. There's always a bit of needle between these two, isn't there?
To be honest, no, there wasn't that same needle this time
round.
And I think it was nice. It was good. I was really glad there wasn't the same sort of needle, to be honest, because it got a bit out of hand last year with, shall we say, people getting carried away and doing stuff all over Twitter and Facebook and all kinds of comments.
Do you think there's a more professional approach under Brian McDermott?
I would never want to say anything against the previous coach, but
no.
He obviously thought there was a way of needling and getting under the skin. But I think the fact that there was only 4 ex-Lee players in the Toronto lineup this time round, I think that really did the game a great service, in all honesty. And yeah, I thought this was a really good game, a close game, a much closer game than I anticipated. And I caught up with Toronto centre Ricky Littelli afterwards.
Delighted to be joined by Ricky Littelli. Your thoughts on playing this game against Lee? It seemed a real hard slog.
Yeah, definitely. Lee's a good squad, good team, and they've got a rich culture behind them. So I was expecting a tough game out there today, and it delivered to be a tough game.
Ended up being decided really by the two packs, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It was a full 80-minute game, and they're the type of games I like to play in, like a whole 80-minute. And both forwards were outstanding, so both packs from both teams, so it was good.
To be fair, you got your hands on the ball quite a lot as well, so was you pleased with how you went?
Yeah, I like to get the ball a bit early, and it was what we did today, and it was good. I was blowing today, but his lungs were gone, but it was good.
Tell us a little bit about your background, because it's obviously your first season here in the British game.
Yeah, my background's Samoan, but I was born in Australia, so I grew up in Brisbane, in Queensland, and come over here I was at Cronulla for about 10 years and come here for my first season, so I'm really enjoying it at the moment, and it's good, my family love it, and so we want to be here.
I know it's a little bit different from winning an NRL championships, I guess, but how different is it? 'Cause you're like almost on a rugby league adventure with Toronto in a way, aren't you?
Yeah, that's true. Toronto are making the right movements with growing the game of rugby league, and it's something good to be a part of. But yeah, it's a lot different to back home, but you know, I can easily adapt to things, so it's good.
I mean, it certainly looks that way, and obviously you had to adapt today because Lee came right through the middle, didn't they?
Yeah, it's true. Both packs were outstanding. Their pack's big, and they got a bit of experience in Super League as well, so it was a good battle between the two packs, and yeah, it was a good game.
How are you finding it with not actually getting out to Canada at the moment?
Oh, yeah, it's a bit weird, like, being a Toronto team, but, like, based in Manchester, obviously, but I've heard a lot about Canada. It's like they love their footy, they love their sports, so I can't wait to get over.
When is it that you do get over there?
I think it's end of April, early May or something, so it'll be good.
I guess that's something that all the boys are looking forward to be honest.
Yeah, they are, and it's meant to be like scorching hot over there too, so something like Australia, so it's going to be good.
So I can see the smile on your face when you mention the hotness.
Yeah. Today was actually nice. The weather, like, sun's out and that. But I don't mind the cold. It's I can easily rug up, so I can't complain.
Yeah. Is that something that you've ever encountered before, this sort of, like, cold weather that we have over here?
No, I've never been seen snow or been in snow, and never encountered minus degrees. So it's all new to me and my family, but we're just embracing it all and enjoying it at times.
Just shows you the resources they do have at Toronto, and they can entice an NRL Grand Final winner to come and play for them.
I know, and that's the intriguing thing, isn't it? I tell you what, he'll make a difference in a lot of games this season, Ricky Latelli. Very, very good outside back, and to be honest, wouldn't look out of place in Super League, I think.
Anyhow, dipping our toes into Super League, and we kind of mentioned one of the games. Hull finally getting the win, ending the losing streak via the golden boot of Mark Snead. I bet you Lee Radford was a bit more happier on Sunday night.
Very much so, yeah. I think the pressure's been building on Lee Radford. But yes. I think, it just shows how much they must respect him at Hull, because every time he seems to be on the ropes, they come up with a couple of wins, don't they, just to tip it the other way. And that was a fantastic result. And again, like we said, it's going to be in pub quizzes for many years, talking about that game.
Who were the other winners in round four?
The other wins came courtesy of Warrington Wolves.
Is it round three or round four?
It's round
confused
three.
Now.
Yeah, it's
confused.
It's round three, but round four for if you was rubbish last
right,
season.
Okay, got it.
That's the best way of explaining
it. Round three winners then.
Round three winners were Warrington against Huddersfield. They had the job done after an hour, really. Hull, Kingston Rovers lost out to Salford Red Devils. This was after leading 22-8 at half-time. Didn't score a point in the second half, did Hull, Kingston Rovers. Castleford Tigers, well, they were much more clinical than London Broncos. St Helens won a great game against Leeds Rhinos. I was really impressed with that one. And Wakefield Trinity managed to get over the top of Catalans Dragons.
Better performance than Leeds Rhinos, but still a defeat.
Yeah, I think they're coming to now, though. I mean, certainly you get the feeling if they can get some early ball to Conrad Hurrell, he's starting to settle into that back line, and at times he looked unplayable. But you're right, St Helens just got the better of them, didn't they?
Oh man, Steve Manning was back on the map within the world of rugby league, and he caught up with Justin Holbrook.
Well, Justin, it's 3 from 3 just after a fantastic opening 10 minutes when you went 10-0 up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we started really well and obviously happy with the way we're going, and then made a few errors and give Leeds a few opportunities, and they took them, and then they're a dangerous side, and you know, they obviously kicked away to 22-10 at half time. We needed half time to regroup, and you know, to the players' credit, they found a way to win.
Can you say politely what you said to the players at half time?
Oh look, it was a bit of everything to the players, really. One, you know, we can't feel sorry for ourselves. We were in that position because we did it ourselves, and we would have realised what we had to do to fix it, and there's no point worrying about certain things. So we just sort of cleared things up, and as I said, made it clear what we wanted to do in the second half, and I thought we did that, and come away with a win.
Not only did you do that, you kept them pointless, and that is a pretty damn good Leeds Rhinos side that are going to be there or thereabouts come the top five.
Oh, definitely. You know, they're a side that's going to get better as the year went on. You know, they showed it last week what they're capable of, and they showed it again tonight. So, they are a really dangerous side, and you know, we invited them in, and they took their chances. So, for us, you know, we'll learn a lot from tonight. But the main thing was we come up with a win.
Alex and went in for them couple of tries, and then Tomo went in, but we saw a new side, the fans, that they've not seen before, a Roby drop goal to settle the nerves for a 5-point buffer going into the final second.
Yeah, that's right. It would have been great under the old rules when it's not time off in the last 5 minutes. Yeah. But when it's time off, it was a bit nerve-wracking, but good practice for Robes.
Roby with a drop kick, and guess who was back? The Wormsley was back.
Oh, I tell you what, he was awesome.
Big Al.
What about that try for Thompson, though? I mean, that was brilliant. He was like tiptoeing his way through the middle, wasn't he?
How many drop goals has Roby scored? Not many.
I think that might have been his first one, judging from the look of it, because it just about crept over the bar, didn't it?
Not many want to go for a drop goal if he's never took one before.
I think he miscounted the scoreboard, in honesty, you know. Because it gave them a chance to attack, didn't it?
It certainly did. did, yeah. But yeah, the warms, he's back. I like Big Al.
And he seems to have come back with a little bit more vim and vigour than even he had before, which is dangerous for the rest of Super League,
isn't
it? Yeah,
like he's been out for ages, hasn't he?
Well, he was, wasn't he? And when you consider the story that he's had to overcome, you know, broken bones in his neck, he's doing a fantastic job back out there, isn't he?
Some sad news we've got to announce on the final hooter. While we've been on air, it's been announced by the RFL. And that sadly, the great Peter Fox is no longer with us. He sadly passed away at the age of 86.
Yeah, this is a real sad story. You know, Peter Fox was a tremendous coach and a fantastic player as well. Wasn't he? I mean, like you were saying, I mean, he's played for a whole raft of Yorkshire clubs, a couple of spells for Batley. Was it Featherstone he played for as well?
Featherstone, OKR, Huntsford. Two stints with Batley, by the way.
Wow. You know, so I mean, like, he's given his all for rugby league, and then
Featherstone coach, Bradford Northern coach, probably England coach, Great Britain coach,
probably better thought of during his days at Bradford as the Bradford coach, wasn't he? It's a sad loss as far as the game is concerned. He is part of that rugby league dynasty that came from Charleston, isn't he?
Famous little village in Yorkshire, isn't it? And so, the Fox family is a famous name within the world of rugby league.
Well, definitely. You've got Neil Fox up there with the all-time scorers, Dom Fox with his famous moment in the water splash final, and then Peter Fox with his exploits at coaching and playing as well. So, yes, a really sad loss, and our thoughts are with everybody that knew him.
That's just about all that we've got time for in this edition of the Final Hooter, but join us again next time out when none other than Sky Pundit and former international front rower Barry McDermott is our special guest.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
The Final Hooter.